This is the last week of our different series on worship. And thank you, George. It's pretty amazing. It's just amazing how things build. God is into momentum. He's into crescendos. He's the crescendoing God. He doesn't stop. Even when we're completely unaware of the things that He is shifting and moving in life, He's still working and He's still moving and He's still going. The God that poured out revival in so many different places in the world, and even in our own country, we've seen so much moving of the Spirit. And some people could make the argument that there were times where it seemed like there was more. And there's a season for everything. In January, if any of you would have walked out to your blueberry bush looking for blueberries, you wouldn't have found any. But growth was happening. And some of you right now are walking out to your blueberry bushes and you're starting to see them grow and bloom. It's blueberry season coming up, or actually, I mean, we're kind of in it and the peak of it is coming. And we're experiencing that fruit right now. Just because there wasn't fruit on the tree doesn't mean that the tree was dead. And so within the moving of God, the moving of the Spirit, and the revival that has never stopped happening in America, because political parties don't control the moving of God, pandemics don't control the moving of God, moral failure in the church doesn't control the moving of God. God does what God wants to do. And He has not one day stopped. Even when God rested on the seventh day, there were still things happening. His word never stops performing. Every word sent down from heaven does not go back up until it has succeeded in what God sent it to do. The example that I would use is every word from God brings God passive income. That's the way that I would think about it. God speaks a thing and it works. It just does. And so there have been words that have been spoken over this nation, and they've been working. And we are coming into it. I prophesy today in the name of Jesus that the time for the harvest is here. There was this moment in Acts after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit came that Peter stood up and with boldness he said these words. He said, that which the prophet Joel prophesied, that God would pour out His Spirit on all flesh, he said, this is that. There was only 3,000, 5,000, you know, I mean, there was a lot of people there. But there were still Native Americans living in America at that time, and there were unreached people groups all over the world, and yet Peter with boldness declared, this is that. Last year, in a debrief after one of our Good Morning CL prayer sessions, I said to the team, this is that. And with boldness, I stand before you today and I say, this is that. That which the prophet Joel spoke of, God pouring out His Spirit on all flesh, this is that. It is happening. You know, God is so incredible. Because the worship team doesn't know this. But I was in the back and I was praying with them this morning. And there's this song by David and Nicole Bynum. And basically, you know, the song is, how great you are, how great you are. But then it comes to this point, this bridge in the song, where the person leading the song starts to sing, it is happening, it is happening, it is happening. And about 4 years ago, Michaela and I were on the mission field in Mexico, and God, and that song was playing. And God started, I was holding my son, I was worshiping, I was praying, and God just started downloading stuff in my spirit. I don't even remember what he said, but I knew that there was something pivotal happening right then in my spirit. There was something pivotal happening, and this morning, we were back there, and that song was playing while we were praying. And it got to that point, it is happening, it is happening, it is happening. And even while we were worshiping, I was just feeling this shift happening. Write today down in your calendars. There's a shift happening. There's something powerful is happening today. And it's not because the music was on point, even though it was. It was really good. Good job, guys. Thank goodness for skilled musicians. But I have been in situations where a tone-deaf worship leader with an out-of-tune guitar was playing and singing, and Jesus showed up, and we were all on our faces. And then there was a shift happening in worship today. Not because the music was perfect. It was because our hearts were aligned together, seeking God, seeking His face, going after Him together as one body. Worship, unity in worship is just such a powerful, changing thing. You know, we started singing that together. There is power when we worship. Power when we worship. Power when we worship. Power when we worship. Why? Why do we sing? And why is there power when we worship? Last week we talked about one of our responses to God being that. And no other being or biological creature or spiritual being can do this. We are the only ones that can respond to God in worship by being transformed into His image and looking like Him. And that's amazing because, you know, that helps us to get out of the idea that worship is mutually exclusive to singing. But I never want to be the person that swings all the way to the other side and is like, oh, it's not about worship. It's not about singing. Yes, it is. It's about both. It's about our lives being living sacrifices, which is our reasonable worship. But then it's also, there's something about when the body comes together and we sing and we lift our voices and we praise Him. And we talk about Him. I'm going to ask you guys not to yell for the word this time, just staying in this atmosphere. But our key text during this series has been Revelation 4, 6 through 8. And it says, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature had a face like a man. The fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. You guys will remember that in the first week of this series, different, I talked to you guys about the fact that when the angels see something about God that is different, they cry out, holy. They sing, holy. They shout, holy. They say, holy. They respond to what they see. They look at God and they capture the essence of a part of who he is, whether it be his goodness or his kindness or his faithfulness or his power or his wrath or his judgment or his love or his mercy or his grace. They catch sight of those things, and when they catch sight of those things, they say, holy. They cry out, different. It's a response to what they see. And we're the same way. We respond to what we see. You know, it says in Isaiah 25, verse 1, it says, O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. But it says there, I will exalt you. I will praise you, for you have done wonderful things. How did he know that God had done wonderful things? He saw the wonderful things that he did, and out of seeing the wonderful things, seeing the greatness of God, seeing the power of God, seeing the love and care and fatherhood of God, the prophet Isaiah says, I will exalt you, I will praise you, I will sing to you. So singing to God is a response of capturing a side of who he is. I love that idea that we see and then we sing. But I want to explain to you today kind of this cycle that we live in worship. It's this real cyclical thing that happens, because the beauty of singing is that it is both our response to what makes God different, and it is our door to enter into his presence to see more of what makes him different. I'll say that again. The beauty of singing is that it is both our response to what makes God different and our door to enter into his presence to see more of what makes him different. It says in Psalm 100, verse 4, everybody knows this scripture, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. We walk into the door of the throne room when we sing. The door of heaven is opened with praise. It is opened with singing. It is opened with lifting our voices and crying out to God. It is opened with saying things about God that make him who he is. Saying things to God that he has done. We enter in to his presence with that song. And then as we see, because right, you come into the presence of God, and you see the wonder, maybe not with your physical eyes, but you get the sense of his power and his goodness and his majesty and his love and his faithfulness and his goodness and his jealousy and his hope and his power. Like you start to see all of those things. You come into that place and you see it, and then you sing about it. And here's the great thing. Is that the more we sing, the more we see. The more we sing, the more we see. Why? In Psalm 22, verse 3, it says, But you are holy, O you who inhabits the praises of Israel. I love what that word inhabit means in the Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word yoseb, and it means dwelling place, home, to cause to dwell, and so live in a place because of relationship. Y'all see, that's a good one. Dwelling place, home, to cause to dwell and so live in a place because of relationship. So singing to God brings us into the door of his presence, and singing to God keeps us in his presence. Because he literally inhabits our praise. Our praise is, it says, there's another translation that says, you are holy, O Lord. You are enthroned on the praises of your people. He's enthroned in our praises. I'm trying to decide how deep to go with all of this, but our singing establishes the throne of God in a place. Now, when we begin to sing, there's literal things begin to change in the atmosphere. Literal things begin to shift in the atmosphere because he inhabits every word that we sing. He makes himself known in every word that we sing. Our songs create a space where God dwells in relationship with us. And this relationship always leads us to greater understanding of what makes God different. Have you ever wondered what's happening whenever Pastor Thomas or Danane or Daniel or any number of our singers are up here and they're singing the song, right? They're singing the song that's been written. They're singing that Hillsong song or that Todd Delaney song or whatever song it is. They're singing that song. And then all of a sudden, they break off from that song and they start to sing something different. And it's like, why aren't the words on the screen? What's happening in that moment is as they're singing, revelation or understanding of who God is hits their heart, hits their soul, hits their mind, and they start to sing more of what's being revealed through the song. And so it creates this cycle of we enter into his courts and we sing and then we see. And we keep on singing, and we keep on seeing, and we keep on singing, and we keep on singing, and we go deeper and deeper and deeper, and he reveals more and more and more, and we start to get to a place as, because y'all know I'm a worship leader, as worship leaders, where we start to say, this song is good, but I'm seeing more, and I need to sing into what I see. And then what comes with that is more revelation of who God is and manifestation of his presence. It is one of my most favorite realities in the kingdom of God is that we sing more and more and his presence comes in more and more. God encounters us in our singing and he reveals himself to us. And he confirms the words of our songs with manifestations and signs that follow. Mark 16:20 says, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word. Everybody say that with me. Say, confirming the word. The word. Confirming the word through accompanying signs. Listen to this. God confirms his word if it's being sung, if it's being preached, if it's being shared in a coffee shop, if it's in poetry, wherever his word is, his confirmation is close behind. And it doesn't matter the medium of his word, it matters that it's his word. And so, great sermon illustration. I want to call back to what happened there at the end of worship. Right? Thomas is singing. Pastor Thomas is singing. Y'all forgive me. I've known him my whole life. I bounce back and forth. Pastor Thomas, I honor him in my heart. So Pastor Thomas is singing, and he starts singing about the kindness being revealed in holiness, and he starts singing about God wrapping us in sheets of white, God wrapping us in purity, right? He starts singing in to all of that stuff, and then God speaks to the heart of Pastor David, which confirms something that God is already speaking to my heart about calling the prodigals home. I asked Dad to come up with me to share. And so out of us singing about the kindness and the love of God, and a physical act of the kindness and the love of God takes place. Who felt the love of God in that moment? It's kind of hard to like explain, right? How do you explain, I felt the love? We can't really explain it, but we know when it's happening. It's a manifestation of his presence, and it happened as a confirmation to his very word that we were singing. And so that's what's happening in worship. If no one's ever explained to you why you feel the way that you feel in worship, it's because that's exactly what's happening. You sing about the power of God, and the power of God is going to manifest itself in the room. God's word is his calling card. He can't stay away from his word. Everywhere that he hears his word being preached and being sung, he shows up and he manifests himself. He confirms the things that are being said and sung about him. Especially when the heart is behind it. You know, some of us, I remember whenever I was 8 years old, and my grandfather had passed away, and we went to we had his funeral, and then we went to the church service the next day, and we got out of church, and I was like, Dad, how long was that service? And he said, oh, it was about 30 minutes. And I said to my dad, I said, Dad, how come when we're at Covenant Love, we can be in church for 2 hours and it feels like 30 minutes, but whenever we're at Granddad's church, we're there for 30 minutes and it feels like 2 hours. Because our hearts do have to line up with his word. There's plenty of dead religious places where his word is being sung and preached, but because there is no heart behind the desire, because there's a belief that God doesn't do those things anymore, that the word is somehow just some intellectual thing that we're supposed to ascend to, and one day we'll fly away, oh glory, and that's when we'll start to feel it again. But even then, I've heard those people talk about heaven, and like their heaven, I do not want to go to. Because it's just people standing in line singing the same old hymns again instead of that deeper revelation, that deeper understanding of who God is. But the reason why you can go, and I'm not trying to pick on anybody by any stretch. I'm just trying to explain kind of what happens is the word, we sing the word, and when we put our heart into what's being sung, when we put our heart into that desire to see God show up and do the thing that we're singing about, he shows up and he does the thing that we're singing about. Or when we're preaching about it, he shows up and he does the thing that we're preaching about. Why? Because he is a living God. He is not dead. He is vibrant and alive, and he is wonderful and awesome. And he won't stay away from his word being sung. And he will show you as we sing, he shows us more and more of who he is. You know, whenever we wrote that song, Everything You Do Is Holy, it came from this encounter that I was having with the Lord where, you know, I'll be the first to tell you, like, I was like one of the worst, like, turn or burn, repent or perish preachers. Like, one time, Pastor Brian, our old executive pastor, he counted how many times I said, you're going to hell in one message. And in 15 minutes, I said it 7 times. In the youth. Of all places. Jesus. Had zero, like almost no revelation of the kindness of God in my life. And so like whenever I talk about those religious places, like look here, chief among sinners, whenever it comes to allowing legalism and piety to make you feel like you're better than what you actually are. Poster child right here. But as I began to encounter the love of God and the holiness of God in a more complete and full way, I had this realization, like I was in my prayer shop, shed, I don't know what you call it. It's a little shed outside of my house where I go to pray. And I was out there praying and I was singing, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty." All that stuff. I was singing that. And I just started to think about the fact of like, God's holiness is so much more than what he doesn't do. It's everything he does. And I started singing into, I already had the words, some of the words to the song, but I started singing into that of the holy so much more than who you are. It's everything you say, everything you do is holy. Started singing into that. And it was just, God just kept on peeling back the layers to me. And I started writing the verse of who you are and what you do is totally unique. Your humility undoes the pride in me. Your jealousy, it seeks and finds and captures my attention. Like, all of those things. Even, I remember whenever I wrote the line, your love sent down your only son to rescue my affection. Your grace embraces me in spite of me. Your strength perfects my weakened state and shows me your perfection. Your patience walks with me until I'm whole. Every single one of those lines was, it was just like God was just peeling things back and letting me see more and more. And the more that I saw, the more that I sang. And I don't care if you've got the greatest voice in the world or the worst voice in the world, God will meet you in that place. Because you enter in with singing, and he inhabits the songs you sing. And he will allow you to see more and more and more and more of who he is. This is why we sing. This is why it's important to show up when it's time to worship. Because it sets the stage for what God is about to do. It sets the stage. And I've been feeling it more and more. Y'all are my family, so I'm just having family conversation with you guys. I was amazed this morning of just, God has shifted something in our thinking as a community of he doesn't just show up for the third song. He doesn't just show up for the third song. As soon as we open our mouths, the God that inhabits our praise walks in the room. And there's a difference between the abiding presence, because every single one of us, if you've given your life over to Jesus, you have the abiding presence on the inside of your heart. But there's something different about the manifestation of his presence. There's a difference. God walks with me everywhere that I go. God walks with you everywhere that you go. But when we show up in this place together and we sing together and we lift up our voices together, his throne comes in, right? You want to talk, the prayer that Jesus prayed, "Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, your kingdom come." His kingdom is wherever his throne is. And so if he is enthroned in our praises, whenever we praise him, whenever we sing to him, heaven comes down. So like we spend all this time, we want access to that prayer. God, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Sing. No, no, no. It's got to be more. You got to hold your mouth right. And you got to ha when you're, no, no. Simply sing. But my pastor, simply sing. But this person that I was talking to, simply sing. I pray, God, right now for faith to arise inside of our hearts, that when we sing, there would be a confident expectation that your manifestation is coming. Let there be confident expectation that every time we, when you're alone and whenever we're all here together singing, let there be confident expectation that manifestation, that confirmation is on the way. These are the ways that we get to some of the things that we've been prophesying and talking about. Of just people just being healed, like when they pull into the parking lot here. And this is how we get to that place where I said it at the beginning of the year, that God is moving us from every now and again visitation to everyday habitation. Sing. And if you don't have a good voice, anybody got a phone? iTunes, Spotify, there's some good singers up on there. You can have your own praise team right there with you, breaking it down. Let them sing, and you just connect your heart to what they're singing. He'll show up. And then what begins to happen is, I've been hearing multiple pastors talking about this, and I want to speak it into us as a community. That we want to get to the place where when we show up on Sunday morning, hopefully at 10 o'clock, Heche de Boku, Jesus. When we show up at 10 o'clock, I'm going to prophesy those things that are not as though they are. I'm joking. Y'all know I'm messing with you. I've got a kid. I show up late. That when we would come into this room and we begin to sing, it's like we've been doing this all week. Pastor Jeff prophesied a couple of weeks ago in a men's gathering that we were having that God is tilling the fallow ground, that God is breaking up the fallow ground, that we as a community are coming to the place where we are not going to have to work to get ourselves into the presence whenever we show up on Sunday morning. But there will be such a habitation of his presence. There will be such an indwelling of his presence. I believe that God is looking for a resting place. And I declare in the name of Jesus that 420 Dunn Road will be his resting place in Fayetteville, North Carolina. This will be a resting place. We as individuals are resting places, but I believe that this is a resting place. A resting place. A resting place. This is even why I think it's important for as many of us as possible. Please, in the name of Jesus, please feel no condemnation whenever I talk about things that I feel like we should all get together and do and stuff like. I know that people are busy and I know that schedules are busy, but this is why I believe with my whole heart that Tuesday mornings, Good Morning CL, it's such an important thing for us to do as a community. Why? Because we are worshiping, we are praying together, and if you can't catch it at 9 a.m., then it's on YouTube like forever. That's how the internet works. Things are being released at different times of the week for us. We need to, whenever a series of messages come out, like Discipleship Lifestyle or we need to be connected. If you can't come in person to the discipleship classes, then we have talks and we have so many different things that are helping us to flow together in all this stuff so that when we show up on Sunday mornings, the ground is ready. And God just starts moving from the first chord that is played. God begins to move, and we truly begin to see an atmosphere of revival come. And then we're not just showing up here to capture what God, to just do what God is doing here, but we capture it and we take it to the places where we go. That through your encounter here in worship, that you would go and sit at your desk or be on your job site or be out there on Fort Bragg and just under your breath, everything you do is holy, knowing with confidence that the holiness of God is showing up right then and there because he inhabits your praise. Last thing, got 5 minutes. Maybe I can do this in 5 minutes. Thank you for that vote of confidence. I'm just going to blame it on Dad. He was taking up my time up here. I was like, no. Why did I ask him to come up here? I just walked in that clock, tick away. No, I'm joking. Two scriptures. So the way we respond to what God reveals about himself is different from encounter to encounter. Now, I want to explain this because I really believe that there's going to be some freedom that's going to come from this. So if you've ever been wounded in church by the way that you worship being talked about, listen to me. How do we respond to what God reveals about himself? The way that we respond to what God reveals about himself is different from encounter to encounter. Let's look first and foremost at Exodus 19, 16 through 18. It says, "Then it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunderings and lightnings and a thick cloud on the mountain, and the sound of the trumpet was very loud, so that all the people who were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the foot of the mountain. Now Mount Sinai was completely in smoke." Now get these next few words. "Because the Lord descended upon it in fire." There was thundering, there was lightning, there was the sound of a trumpet, because God, his presence, descended on the mountain. God was in the thunder and the lightning and the fire and the wind and the trumpet sound. God was in it. Now let's skip to 1 Kings 19, 11 through 12. It says, "Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice." And that's where God was in that moment. So you've got two completely separate moments. You've got God descending on a mountain like fire and like thunder and like lightning, and God shows up. He's in that. And then you've got this other moment where there's fire and there's wind and there's earthquakes. God's not in that. He's in the still small voice. There are different responses in worship. There are times when it's, "Hey, hallelujah, yes, Jesus, ha." And then there's times where it's like, "God, send your fire." And then there's times when it's like, shh. I'm going to say my friends Isaiah and Kelsey's favorite thing that I say. It's an ebb and flow. And learning how to go and respond with what God is doing, I believe, really comes from the moments when we're together. So when we're together and the music is booming and there's a shout and there's a cry and there's an uproar happening, lift your voice, dance, shout. And then there's moments when there's this stillness that comes, and when that stillness comes, be still. Respond to God in the way that the moment is flowing. Now, within that too, God created you on purpose. If you are quiet and tranquil, he didn't make a mistake. And if you are loud and boisterous, he didn't make a mistake. One more time. I'm going to do it the exact same way. There we go. If you are tranquil and quiet, God didn't make a mistake. And if you are loud and you are boisterous, God did not make a mistake. So, don't, if you're loud and you're boisterous, don't judge tranquil and calm. And if you're tranquil and calm, don't judge loud and boisterous. Last thing, if you're tranquil and calm, don't be afraid when God asks you to be loud and boisterous. And if you're loud and boisterous, don't be afraid when God asks you to be tranquil and calm. John 7, verse 38 and 39 says, "He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive." Sometimes a river rages, and sometimes it's like glass. We learn to flow by going with the Holy Spirit. We go with the Spirit. We trust what God is doing in a room through our leaders and through the people who, I'm not better than anybody else because I have a microphone. This is just my vocation. And God, out of this vocation and out of this spiritual leadership and authority that he's given me, or my dad or Thomas or George or anybody that's leading a moment with us, when we are being corporately led, right? We need to trust one another. We've got to trust that if Pastor Thomas begins to sing into the love of God, that there's something there that God wants to manifest and show. We've got to trust that if Pastor gets up and starts to call out to the prodigals, that God is doing something in that moment. That if there's a moment where somebody says, "Lift up a shout to the Lord," that we all come together and we shout to the Lord with one response. Why? Believing that at his word, there is a confirmation and a manifestation that's coming from that. We do this together. We make this happen. We flow with God together. And we have to never, never, never judge people based on their responses or anything like that. But then we also have to flow together. Is this making sense? And so if you've ever been dogged because of the way that you respond, be healed in Jesus' name. And also don't be afraid to do something different. Are we good with the tension in that? There's tension in that, right? I also, just last thing that I want to say, because I feel like God's telling me to say it, like, it's the same thing that I was saying, but I just want to say it again, of like, let's trust one another and let's trust leadership. Let's trust it. You can go ahead, George. Let's trust it and let's see. I believe that something's going to be unlocked in this. And this is one of the main reasons why we're having a night of worship tonight. Because tonight when we get back, I believe God's going to confirm this word through the worship that we give to him tonight. And so here's the mindset that I want all of us, whoever can make it, The mindset that I want us to have tonight is this mindset of we're going to come and we're all going to engage together. And we are going to flow together. And whatever response God calls for, we are going to respond. We're going to respond tonight. And we're just going to see what he does. Because I've been hungry with expectation that there are going to be miracles tonight. There is going to be an outpouring of his presence and of his spirit. There is going to be revelation. I believe that there's going to be visions. I believe that tonight that there's going to be dreams that are going to be given to people. I believe that some people in the room who have never heard the voice of the Lord, that they're going to hear the voice of the Lord for the first time. It would take me a whole nother hour to express everything that I feel like God is going to do tonight. And so, come out. Let's worship Jesus tonight. Bring your kids, bring your family. Come and let's engage with the Lord together and really see why we sing. Amen. Did anybody get anything out of this series? Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship the Lord with our tithe and our offering. Amen. Woo-woo! So I used this scripture last week, but I want to use it again. Where the Bible says we can test the Lord in our giving. That there are, even like singing, there are acts that we do in worship that God then confirms. And so the way that God confirms his word in your giving is through provision. And so today, again, I keep on feeling like the Lord is telling us to tell you, test him in this. I don't think in my whole life, and probably just because, you know, I say my whole life, I'm 30 years old, right? I'm young, very young. My whole life, I've never heard about so many financial miracles happening. I'm serious. The fire hydrant is open. I'm just serious. Yesterday I heard about an incredible financial miracle, and I wish I could tell you guys about it, but even here on staff, like within the church, we've just been seeing financial miracles. God, like the floodgate is open, and so test the Lord in it. Test him. As you give today, I encourage you, write down what you need. And as you give your seed, declare it. Say, God, I test you in this and I thank you for this. God, I thank you for let's just pray big prayers. God, I thank you for canceling my debt. God, I thank you for taking care of my financial bills. God, I thank you for, maybe not even for me, God, I thank you for blessing my son that needs it, or my daughter that needs it. God, thank you. But I test you in this. God, bless the people around me. Bless my own life. Bless everything that's going on. Come on, test him in it. He will confirm his word. His word is his calling card. You guys know how we are. We're not money hungry around here. But what we're hungry for is for you guys to see the goodness of God in your life. For you guys to worship him in your giving and see him confirm with his provision. We're hungry for that. We desire it. We want you guys to be blessed, blessed, blessed. And so test the Lord in this today. Amen. Watch him confirm his word with a sign of provision following. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to worship through our giving, and we thank you for the opportunity to watch you confirm your word with signs following. God, I ask. God, I test you in everybody's giving. And God, I thank you for showing your faithfulness to everyone who gives today. I thank you, Father, that you said that you would pour back, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God, I pray that every gift that is given to you today would be met with overflow. of abundance. God, I ask you to bless your people as they give today. Bless the work of their hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen.